Well, I think any time you don't quite reach your goals in this business, on one hand, yeah. Having said that, though, that I really can feel good, I think, and the guys that have been here can feel good about what the future holds. Now, time will tell. Absolutely, time will tell. But that's the only frustration I have at times.
You and you say you think the organization's in better shape now. Could you talk about, at least for me, what you've done on the business side to make it better? Because I'm not aware of that side.
Well, the first thing I did, you know, I hired really good business people. Brian Wiedemeyer was kind of in charge of those things as the senior vice president. And, you know, we our budget, I was very involved in budgets for the first time in my life. And how to curtail some of the spending and some of the getting things in order so it was a profitable business, given the fact that that we never wanted to raise ticket prices. And then the team's performance on the field, you know, we tried really hard to continue keeping our fans coming to the games and those types of things. Jim Ross, I think, deserves a lot of credit in our sales and marketing departments. I think the building itself, our community relations program here is second to none in the NFL. I think they do a marvelous job. And there's just a lot of good people here have done a lot of good things. But I think we got things in order. We got the house a little bit in order. And I think it probably helped a little bit in the business, the big business deal that took place.
Mike, you I think came out here a week or so ago just to kind of address the rumors that were out there with the Cowboys situation. Were you at all worried, or the perception of you going out on the field last week and talking to Jerry in front of the cameras, and how you think that might have been perceived?
I thought about it, and in fact, I phoned Jerry. You know, I phoned him and said if this whole thing. And what I told you, I did the things that were written. If it caused any sort of a problem for anybody, I apologize for that. And he said, absolutely not. You know, I mean, I said, listen, every time we played against each other, and it's been a number of times, we've always said hello and been cordial. We're friends. I said, maybe this time I shouldn't do that. You know, if you'd rather I didn't. And he said, if I don't see you, if you don't come and see me, you know, in typical fashion, if you know him, I said, okay. And so, you know, I went over to see him. I talked to Steven before, and then Jerry came out. And we talked about the stuff we always talk about, family and the Salvation Army. They do a wonderful job there with the Salvation Army. So, but I thought about it. I said, well, you know, I did. But... you know, we have a good friendship, and I said if we all handle this properly, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Like, anything in your agreement with Jimmy as you go forward here that would preclude you from coaching another team? And if you did, would there be compensation involved for the Browns?
Coaching another team, no. And the compensation stuff, we're just going to not get into that.
The whole thing with Dallas, I mean, it's out there. You came in and addressed it and said you hadn't talked to him. You were very clear about that, but that was never reported. What was reported was that you would be interested if there were an opening.
Well, that was a misstatement as well. You know, what I told you the first time, and what I told you the second time, and what I will tell you today, is that we're going to fly to Phoenix on Saturday. And then I'm going to catch my breath a little bit and just take it easy and ride my motorcycle I have down there. And I don't know. I honestly don't know if I'm going to go back to work immediately or not. And I don't know if it'll be in football. You know, there's a lot of things that we've been interested in over the years, and a lot of the things we've talked about as a couple that we could do involving nonprofits and the things we're involved with away from football that could be pretty exciting. So, but as of right now, I really haven't given it much thought, other than the fact that there are no plans right now.
If you do return to coaching, people here are going to wonder why you didn't coach here.
If.
And so, how would you answer?
How many hypotheticals are you asking me? Three.
I'm asking you why. You know, that's what people are wondering. Well, how come you didn't coach the Browns?
Well, I think when you make decisions anywhere along the line, whether it was 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever you make decisions, you gather up the information you have. And you see how you feel, and you see how good it is, and see what you want to do, and you make your decision. When I came here, the decision was to try and run the organization. It was certainly to enter in a new area for me. And that's what I wanted to do. And I had a chance. I didn't want to coach anymore at that point. Over the span of 3 years, I think, as I mentioned the other day, that I knew it would be a difficult thing watching games, just watching and not contributing during the game itself. But maybe I didn't know how hard that'd be. But having said that, I made my decision. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I did. I wasn't going to do that here. But now I've learned that what I did, it was very, very difficult for me to watch. And so if ever something comes through down the line, but I just finished telling you that I don't know. Okay?
We might end up seeing Colt McCoy this weekend, depending on what goes on with Brandon Lee. You know, you were instrumental in bringing Colt here. What do you think about Colt? Do you still feel that Colt has the ability to be a successful winning NFL player?
I do. Yeah, I do. And he certainly has prepared himself. He's had in a very, I think, difficult situation for any player, a competitive guy. I think he's handled himself beautifully this season. He worked very, very hard in practice. I think if called upon, he's prepared to play. I know he's prepared to play, and I've always thought he could play. So, now having said that, I don't know. Brandon. It was my understanding that Pat talked to you a little bit about Brandon this morning or this afternoon, and if Brandon's healthy and can play, he'll play. I'm assuming. I haven't talked to Pat actually, but that's my assumption.
Mike, usually with a quarterback in Whedon's position, first round pick who's starting, what comes out of management is no matter how he's playing, is he's doing fine. He has a bright future. That's not what Joe Banner is saying. He's saying, well, look at him at the end of the season. So it's kind of maybe that's fair, but it's still a different approach. How do you suppose that plays on even a 29-year-old rookie's mind? And after answering that question, could you update us on whether you think Whedon's going to be the starter here for a long time?
Well, I like Brandon Whedon. I think he's a good player, and I think he has shown you in spurts that he can really pass the ball well, and keeping in mind that he's still a rookie, even though he's a 29-year-old rookie. But that's not my call anymore. It really isn't.
I know it's not your call, and that's obvious, but, you're a quarterback's guy from way back, and your opinion counts for something.
I think Brandon can play, and I think he has a chance to be a very fine quarterback in this league.
What about this stuff about what he's digesting? He's not getting you're doing fine and you've got a bright future. Instead, it's we'll see how we feel at the end of the year.
Well, I think most of the players that come into the league that's they haven't heard that. That's not the first time these guys have heard something like that. They read about it and hear about it probably every day somewhere. So for a guy, particularly a guy with his age, 29, I don't think things rattle him too much that way. And being the competitors they are, they still have to produce on the field, and that's no one's going to hand them anything. And I think he absolutely realizes that. I don't think it has much effect on him, really.
A couple more questions, guys.
I've never done that too much. There are certain things that that I would have liked to have done better. You know, I was on a learning curve as the president, and but I tried to do it the best way I knew how. And not everyone's going to agree with all the decisions, but no, I think you do what you think is the right thing to do at the time, and then you try and support that decision the best way you can to make it successful. And it's not going to work all the time, but if you're consistently doing it that way and working hard to do it that way, then you shouldn't have many regrets.
Mike, how important to you is, this is the first time you've been in a position like this, how important is it to you to have left a positive legacy, whether that will be determined 2-3 years down the road or whatever, leave a positive legacy here in Cleveland?
Well, I came in wanting to do that. I came in wanting to change this, make it successful, give the fans something they deserve, and my thinking is that you'll see that in the next couple of years. That's my feeling. I don't think about legacy too much. I really don't. I in any job I've ever had, you just go in, roll up your sleeves, try and do the best job you can do, be honest about it, operate it from a mutual respect of whoever you're dealing with, and then go. I think if you do it that way, and you are true to yourself and treat people properly, I mean, I'll take it. Whatever happens, I'll take it.
Think about your future. Do you think the way this ended, year three of your tenure here, do you think the way it ended will make it difficult for you to walk away from the game entirely?
Like I said, I don't know. That's the one thing, as I mentioned earlier in this today. I said, you're building something, and then, it ends rather abruptly. But I'm also a big boy, and I understand this business, and what happened, and you have a great new owner who desperately wants to do this thing right, and who will bring all the stuff you need to get it right. And so, the team, I think, is in really good hands. And when I watch the Cleveland Browns play on television in the future, I'll take great pride in the fact when they do well, I'll feel good about that. I'll feel good for the players. I'll feel good for the coaches and the organization and the people, because I was here. I've often said when I went to Green Bay, I was a California kid. You go to Green Bay, you have no idea what it's like there until you work there. You think you do, but you don't. And the same thing here. I've been around football a long time, the Cleveland Browns. I knew about the Cleveland Browns. I knew about all the great players of the Cleveland Browns. But until you're actually working here and seeing the passion of the people here and the fans, and when I go around town talking to people, just people, you don't understand until you're here. And I am very thankful that I got this opportunity to do this.
You thinking that you've laid up the foundation and you're guessing that you'll bear fruit. I mean, for that to happen, the existing foundation would have to be built on, and there would have to be some semblance of continuity. Share with us as much as you can, please, about what you've told Haslam and Banner about keeping as much of the foundation as is feasible in their mind intact. I mean, have you tried to sell that to them? Are they buying?
Well, is Joel going to come down here?
Yeah,
okay. First of all, my conversations with both those men, right up front, we kind of laid some ground rules that we were both going to be brutally honest with during the conversation. Now, I believe in the guys that are here. I hired them, and I think in many respects our personnel department, our scouting department, they've done a really good job. We haven't won as many games as we all would have liked, but, you know, it's coming. I believe in our coaching staff, all those things. And I tried to convey that to them as best I could. Not just football, but the people in the building. There are a lot of fine people that work hard and care about this place that are working in the building. And those are the conversations we had. And to Joe's credit, you know, he wanted to know, which I appreciate. He wanted to know. And those are the types of conversations we've had. Now, what happens from here? All I could do was be honest and tell him what I thought. You know, we had to make a bunch of changes in the first year, too. And so we talked about that. We talked about all that stuff. That was the transition period. But now all the talking is done. You know, and I've said what I had to say. And now it's, according to them, we'll see what happens at the end of the year.
Is Heckert less beholden to the record because he's not the coach? He just acquired 2 or 3 years' worth of players than Shermer is because the record's more on the coach.
Steve, you got to, that's a question for him, okay?
Mary Kay, last one.
If you do decide to coach again, mm-hmm. What have you learned from this experience that will make you an even better football coach?
My experience as president, nothing. No, I'm just saying. You just learn about yourself. You know, you watch things. I'm the worst second guesser in the world. Really am. And I know that about myself, and I'll sit up there just like many of you during the games and go, oh, my goodness. You know, and I say it just like that, too. Huh. Oh, my goodness. You just learn. I think I've learned. You try and do what you enjoy doing, and why you get into this business in the first place. I've always been a teacher first and a coach, and exactly what I learned from what I've done now, probably a little more patience. You know, you learn about delegating more because I had to do that in my job here. But as far as if I was coaching again, I did this for so long, I probably wouldn't change too much.